Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of Homer Grown. This is a bi-weekly show about gardening and agriculture, meant to encourage, empower, and educate local gardeners. We strive to provide diverse voices by interviewing experts, garden enthusiasts, and local producers. While the name of this show is Homer Grown, we want to acknowledge the other communities that could consider this information applicable. Ketchumek City, Anchor Point, Happy Valley, to name a few. My name is Desiree Hagen, and I live on a micro farm in Fritz Creek, Alaska. Today, just in time for the Homer Peony Celebration, we're going to be talking about peonies. I have to admit, before coming to Alaska, I never really had heard of a peony. And honestly, before doing this show, I knew very little about peonies. I thought of them just as a showy wedding flower. I had no idea the impact that they have on our local economy here in Homer. Nor did I realize how much of the niche peony market in Alaska could be affected by climate change. The peony plant itself requires snowy winters in order to survive. And in order to not coincide with lower 48 and foreign markets, the peony plant requires cooler summer temperatures in order to be harvested at a time when other markets have already sold their product. Today we'll hear from three incredibly intelligent and hardworking women about the past, present, and future of peony cultivation on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. I want to sincerely thank each one of these women for sitting down with me for over an hour, right at the start of the peony season. Our guests today are Allison Gaylord of Willow Drive Gardens and founding member of the Alaska Beauty Peony Co-op, Beth Van Sant of Scenic Place Peonies, and Rita Jo Schultz of Alaska Perfect Peonies. Let's get started.
Hi, I'm Allison Gaylord. I have Willow Drive Gardens, and I'm also a founding member of the Alaska Beauty Peony Growers Co-op, currently the board chair. I got interested in the business about 10 years ago and attended a couple of the State Trade Association conferences and did about a dozen farm tours and really tried to educate myself. Did a business plan on the back of a napkin, well, actually with a pretty sophisticated Excel workbook, but I thought, okay, I'm going to go for it. It hasn't quite panned out as I thought it would, but I still love doing it. This is a long-term project. It's a new industry in Alaska, and we're really not going to recoup our investment until, you know, we've got plants as a whole in full production, and that's more like 6-8 years. And so I think a lot of folks get into peony farming thinking it's, you know, Alaska's next gold rush, but to actually be able to maintain your fields for 6-8 years before you're in production is a lot of time. It's not like growing a crop of, you know, arugula that's in and out of the field in 30 days. And there's a lot more to it. And not just the farming, but the distribution logistics, the out-of-state marketing. It's a year-round endeavor.
So in walking around your fields, I can tell that you have done a lot of work in your infrastructure.
We had this large plot of about 3,000 square feet of invasive orange hawkweed in the backyard. I soon realized what that was and decided I wanted to get rid of it. So I tarped it for 2 years, pulled up the tarp. We scorched the ground to get rid of the seed load. Then I started cover cropping for 2 seasons. I really didn't want to set myself up to be reliant on pesticides and herbicides. So I really worked on my soils. We cut in some drainage swales, sort of following best practices for permaculture. Then I started setting up my rows for my first peony field. You can see I'm on a hill here, so I've got really good drainage, but it's also like my Stairmaster field back here behind the house. It's just sort of expanded from there with my planting a few hundred peonies each fall to now I've got about 2,500 roots in the ground. I'm a relatively small farm. I've got about a 3/4 acre under production right now.
Have you noticed any changes since you first started?
Yes, the last couple seasons have been particularly dry. The needs of the plants for water have definitely increased, and in part that is due to the growth of the root balls of these perennial plants. They just demand more water as they mature. But I've already dumped close to 30,000 gallons of water on my fields. About 20,000 I've caught through a catchment system, and then I've had to start purchasing water, which I don't know if that's sustainable. I have a day job, and if I didn't have an automated irrigation system, everything would die. So I've got it all timed. Eventually, you know, when I'm an old lady sitting here on the deck, I'm going to have this controlled from my cell phone. But right now, having precision irrigation is so crucial for the success of a farm. We don't have any water to waste, and I want every drop that I'm catching off this hillside to go into the plants. As part of the USDA NRCS irrigation contract, I have a cost share to implement this irrigation system and to do some research on the needs of this commercial cut flower crop. There is no recommendation on how much water a peony plant needs. And it's not just soil capacity, it's how stressed the plant looks. The readings we're getting from our soil moisture meters are very important, but also just visually my going out there and going, okay, I see that the plant leaf is curled up along the main vein of the stem here. This field needs more water. There's no way I could water this 2,500 plants with a garden hose.
I was hoping you could talk about your refrigeration system and also the potential for using the system after harvest.
Yeah, refrigeration is a real challenge, actually, for the cut flower growers and I believe the larger farming community. We have a huge need for refrigeration when our harvest is coming in, but that need is short-lived. Most of us have on-site refrigeration systems that are based on the CoolBots, which are a little computer system that you hook up to a household air conditioner. But it's not a great solution for long-term storage for cut flowers. But it's terrific for taking the field heat off and if we're turning volume through our coolers. They're only in there for a few days and they're shipping right out. We don't want to store flowers. We want to ship them out as fast as we can. Year round, our refrigerators, for the most part, are unused. And so last year, we'd actually shut all of our coolers down by August 5th. The larger vegetable growing community actually has a shortage of refrigeration in town and could hold more food locally. And so I would love to see a partnership between the cut flower growers, the vegetable growers, the local beekeepers, and setting up some community resource for cold storage. We've been looking at these Connex-based systems that can be used as freezers, as refrigerators, or slightly heated, say through the winter, to house hives of bees. The latest generation of marine reefer connexes are really nicely set up and balanced for not just temperature, but humidity control and ventilation, and can easily be sterilized. So you can move one crop through, sterilize it, and then put something else in there.
It sounds like that irrigation and refrigeration are two of the bigger challenges facing commercial peony growers.
Yes, and I would add to that evolving climate patterns. So the lack of snow cover during the winter can be a real problem for the roots. Adequate snow cover is crucial. In the spring, if we have a thaw frost cycle where there's a lot of water and the snow is off, that can affect the stems for that season. What we're seeing these last couple of summers with more drought conditions are harder on the plant. A lot of us have had to find supplemental sources for water. Mostly, the harvest is coming on faster and harder. What would typically be a 3 to 4 week gradual process has become a mad dash to get them out of the field of, you know, cutting flowers for 16 hours a day so that they don't pop open and then we can't ship them.
What challenges are you facing this year because of COVID?
Well, back in March, our markets largely vanished with the cancellation of large events. A lot of the wholesalers that we deal with have not been committing to large volume orders. We've had a real hard time actually getting commitments from buyers that we've been working with for several years. We've really had to recreate our markets this year. We're distributing more in-state. We're doing more community outreach programs. We're partnering this year with the Homer Ketchikan Bay Rotary Club to do a Spread Joy, Say Thanks. Folks can buy a bunch of flowers for themselves, or they can buy a bunch of flowers and specify that they be donated to their favorite checker at Saviemore or to the medical or custodial staff at the hospital. The Rotary is going to help set up the distribution of those flowers, and folks can purchase them through the Homer Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center starting on July 10th through the 25th. Since we're going to have an abundance of flowers, I think, in town, we thought we'd try to flood the hospitals and the senior centers and set up a program for folks to be able to show their appreciation to the helpers in these challenging times.
Imagine that I'm a beginning farmer. Can you give me a basic tutorial of how to grow a peony?
Sure. They're pretty resilient, really. You start with a bare root, which you typically plant in the fall. We like to dust them with mycorrhizae to encourage a strong rooting. The biggest factor really is that you plant them correctly. So they've got to be centered on a planting hole with the primary eye facing up. And usually we put a bunch of goodies in the hole. We use like fishbone meal and kelp powder, that type of thing, when we water the plants in.
How deep?
Usually we go about an inch below the surface with the primary eye. But again, all that prep I mentioned before, that's all got to be accomplished before.
Are there any plant characteristics that are valued in the peony market?
Yes, there are probably 8 main varieties that are farmed in the Netherlands that are exported commercially, primarily what's called a double form or a bomb form of peony. They are bred, I think, because they ship well. There are at least 64 varieties that I've inventoried so far just in Homer, and I bet there's closer to 80. And not all of those are considered commercial varieties for shipping out of state.
Right now is almost harvest time. There's a perfect window of harvesting. I'm wondering if you could talk about this.
Sure. It's a little different for each variety. And this time of year, we do a lot of checking and walking the fields 2-3 times a day, looking at the buds, checking if the sepals are popped, checking if there's petal lift, if there's a slight pillowing effect on the top of the bud. Those first few stems off of each field are really key. Some of the varieties, particularly those that produce larger buds, take longer to mature. And then all of a sudden, it's like a switch is flipped and the whole field goes. And so it's like you wait for it, and then wham! Like last season, my whole harvest came in within about 8 days because of the heat. In the seasons before, it happened more over 3 to 4 weeks and a cooler summer, which is a little bit more relaxing. Because actually being in a blooming field of peonies is actually quite stressful because that's not what you want. We can't ship them when they're in bloom.
You are part of the Alaska Beauty Peonies Co-op. Could you talk about your role within the co-op?
Sure. I'm a founding member of the Alaska Beauty Peony Cooperative, formed in December of 2013. We started out to support each other through marketing and shared infrastructure, their shared staff, and more grower education. I'm currently the board chair of the co-op. We are a farmer-owned cooperative of 11 farms. You know, the strength in the cooperative, I think, is the group process. We all have different ideas and different opinions and come from different backgrounds. So really approach problem solving different ways. When it comes to trying to source volume for some of the markets we're trying to get into, it really makes sense.
Can you talk about the future of the co-op?
I am actually quite optimistic about the future of the co-op. We work well together. We've invested in infrastructure, shared labor, shared marketing resources. 2 of our members have purchased property near the Homer Airport. We're setting up a permanent home there, which we hope to expand our refrigeration and our processing facilities to be able to service more farms in the area. Because I think a lot of us thought about the farming piece when we got into this business, and not so much about the cold chain and the distribution logistics. And that's more than half of it. So I think it would be wonderful to be able to provide those resources for more farms in the area. And I think we're going to be ideally situated. We're close to the airport for FedEx and central to the farmers market. Maybe someday we'll have marine reefer connexes going out off the Homer Spit that are just picked up and shipped out to LA with cut flowers. We'll see.
When we were walking around, you mentioned that you were involved in a program through UAF to study botrytis. Could you describe botrytis?
Sure. Botrytis is a problem throughout the state on the peony farms. And it's a gray mold that can kill the root and can also affect the buds. You can think of it like if you buy a carton of strawberries at the store and you get that one bad strawberry in the carton, and it can spread through the whole carton and just spoil them pretty quickly. Well, they refer to it as fire in the field because if those spores get airborne, it can just take out a crop pretty quickly. field sanitation is the first line of defense. So we look for any damaged stems. We don't let flowers bloom out in the field, because if they petal drop or they rot in the field, that's a prime way for the botrytis to get in. And then in the fall, we cut clean, flush to the ground, and remove all the vegetation from the field so that there's nothing for the botrytis to grow. And it's a real problem for a commercial plant. And we can't leave those stems on site. They either need to be burned or taken to the dump.
You were talking about the relationship between the honeybees and the peonies. I'm wondering if you could expound on that.
There are a number of Homer farms that do keep apiaries, which is kind of neat, I think. And a number of the farms really try to be bee-friendly in their practices. Bees have a symbiotic relationship with the flowers. The peony bud has an exudant nectar that's secreted from the base of the bud. And it's a sticky, sweet sap that the bees are drawn to. And they'll collect it. They are actually little helpers out there cleaning the buds off for us before they go in the cooler.
You also mentioned fertigation. I'm not familiar with that term.
I've used a lot of organic practices in, you know, feeding my soils, getting my nutrients in balance and pH up to snuff. And we use a lot of products from our local marine environment, compost manure from the farms in the area, cow manure, that type of thing. In my fertigation system, I'm using actually a commercial product called Grow More, enabling me to spend less time touching every single hole. And I can sort of precision dial in how much nutrients each plant needs and deliver that through the irrigation lines. It requires less labor.
After you harvest the peony buds, you then strip the leaves. I'm wondering if you have any use for this waste product.
Unfortunately, we can't compost the byproduct of the fields on site, but I think there's an opportunity for somebody who's not located near a peony field and create a compost product.
Besides cut flowers, do you know of any interesting ways people use peonies?
Yes, actually our cooperative has been looking into several value-added products that we're considering. We've actually got a project going with the Homer Truffle Company. We gave them some peony jelly, and they're going to make a batch of peony truffles for the peony celebration here coming up. But yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for value-added product that makes sense. I think it really is worth pursuing.
Is there any interesting facts or tidbits about peonies that you would like to share?
I'm drawing a blank. I mean, there should be a zillion things. I'm so exhausted. I was harvesting until midnight last night. Only in Alaska can you harvest cut flowers after midnight.
Anything else you would like to say?
I think we've created a lot of seasonal jobs for folks here in town, which is a good thing. And, you know, we're hoping to actually do some educational projects with maybe the community college I was speaking with about, like having a certification program for roving harvest crews, that type of thing. Doing some research efforts with the UC Davis and the USDA Agricultural Research Service. We're creating a harvest guide with vase test trials so that we can help all the growers learn best practices on when to cut at the right stage and for shipping out of state so that we all maintain a certain level of quality, keep our reputation up.
And that was Allison Gaylord of Willow Drive Gardens and founding member of the Alaska Beauty Peony Co-op. Recorded July 3rd, 2020. Up next is your Tech Minute.
Hello, this is Kyra Wagner with today's Tech Minute. When it comes to peonies, there's one technology that is super important. The aspect of peonies that everybody tries to take into consideration is how are you going to get them into cold storage as soon as possible so that they will be able to last for travel. Well, refrigeration is really expensive, and if you want to refrigerate an entire room, it's going to be pretty pricey. So peony growers have glommed on to a perfectly wonderful idea that uses an air conditioner. Now, an air conditioner typically only gets the air down to what you'd be comfortable in, the 60s, 70s, but they want it to be down closer in the 30s. So if you're going to trick an air conditioner to be cold enough for your peonies, you need to attach a CoolBot to it. The CoolBot is a fun little piece of technology that does exactly that, messes with the thermostat of your air conditioner and manages to overdrive it into a state where it can actually go much colder and refrigerate the entire room. Now, this may seem like it's all on the CoolBot, but it really has a lot of responsibility on you for making sure that you've sized your room right for your air conditioning unit, as well as insulated it really well so that you're not trying to refrigerate all of the air outside as well. This toy isn't just for peonies. This kind of technology is in high demand amongst farmers of all kinds. In a recent study that Homer Soil and Water put out called Growing Local Food, that you can find on the Homer Soil and Water webpage, it was identified as the major problem for farmers in the area, cold storage. So if you want to keep your harvest for a couple of days before the farmer's market, you need to find a place for the summer to put your lettuce and your different vegetables so that they won't wilt. A refrigeration unit is perfect, and a CoolBot makes that possible. You can also use it to keep your winter vegetables cool down, almost a root cellar, something to keep those vegetables from being too warm. So whether it's peonies or vegetables, farmers all are fans of the CoolBot. This has been Kyra Wagner with today's Tech Minute.
Up next, I talk with Beth Van Sant of Scenic Place Peonies on July 4th, 2020. Can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Beth Van Sant, and my husband and I, Kurt Wyhand, own Scenic Place Peonies up on East Hill, up off of Scenic Place. We planted our first roots in the ground back in 2009.
What makes Alaska and Homer in general so ideal for growing peonies?
The Homer area farms are the last ones that actually have product available. So that just pushes the markets back. So we're not in competition with Holland or any of the lower 48 markets.
What are some challenges that you're facing this year because of COVID?
COVID has definitely thrown a little bit of a kink in the normal flow. This year, I think the first part was the crew coming in, because we rely heavily on horticultural interns from Cal Poly Pomona, as well as woofers, willing workers on organic farms. And because of the travel restrictions, we have originally thought we would have nobody coming, but it actually turned around and we had so many people, we've been turning them away. But the little hiccup in it is the fact that we have to get everybody tested when they come to the farm. Thankfully, SPH has been offering COVID testing for all incoming people. So we have been able to go ahead and get all of our crew members tested. And with that, we also have formed our own pod so that we do not leave the farm for the most part. The crew, when they do go into any of the stores, they all have to mask up. We just want to make sure that everybody's safe. I feel responsible for these people that come, and so it's important for me to make sure we have some protocols in place. So that's one. The second thing with COVID this year, it has made our normal wholesale buyers, our regular brick and mortar buyers, not actually put pre-orders in. We thankfully are diversified enough between grocery stores that we supply in the Albertson department in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho that we'll be shipping to them, as well as Alaska. But we do a lot of drop ship for internet wholesalers. They send me an order and they send me a shipping label, and I go ahead and throw it in a box and slap on their labels and drop ship it directly to their clients. So that is a real benefit. But the pre-orders have been real down this year.
I was told that your farm does a lot of weddings, photo shoots, and design workshops.
You know, that's also another COVID thing for us. The past 3 years, we have hosted a Alaska peony retreat workshop, and we have florists come in from all over the United States and spend a week here on the farm where we do floral installs, workshops on different parts of the florist business, be it social media, making flower crowns, learning a new way to do large installs without foam. We've done that for the last 3 years, and unfortunately this year we did have to cancel our Alaska peony retreat. The designer, Kelly Shore from Petals by the Shore, she's based out of DC. This year she's still coming up, and because of the peony festival, we are going to be doing two workshops on the 24th of July. That evening at 6 o'clock, we'll be going ahead and doing a peony centerpiece design, and we will have it so that it's COVID safe. Everybody will have their own bucket of flowers. They'll have their tools. Everything will be sanitized. We will be requiring people to wear masks, and they'll be able to go with a beautiful piece, as well as we'll have a photographer here that's going to be doing professional photos. So it should be a fun evening. We're going to be doing that on Friday and then again Saturday morning.
Can you talk about the skill sharing workshops that you have held in the past?
The workshops have been a collaboration. So you have your floral designers, you have your photographers, you've got your rentals. We started the Alaska Peony Retreat based on the Rising Tide Society. Nobody really charges each other for anything. It's just bare costs, which is how we've always operated. The only costs associated are the food. If we have to have a caterer, which we always have an on-site caterer. And so everybody donates. I donate all the flowers. The florists that come donate their expertise. Photographers come in, they donate the photography. We have models that come in and they do big, huge dining spreads or wedding shoots. And then all that accumulates to information that we can use for PR so that we all put it right back out there. It's a really big social media project that we always do. That's something that we're sorely going to miss this year. Hopefully, knock on some wood around here. Next year, you know, we'll be back on to schedule and be able to provide those again.
Besides the manual labor of farming and the refrigeration, the distribution, the pest control, and all these other aspects, the self-promotion and public image is also a huge part of the work.
Absolutely.
Tell me about the Field to Vase dinner.
In 2016, we were fortunate enough to be asked to host the Field to Vase Dinner Tour, which is a nationwide dinner that is held on flower farms all over the United States. We had 120 people that came and sat and dined with us. We gave farm tours. We had a boutonniere bars, fresh fish that was just caught by the executive director of the Certified American Grown, which was kind of fun. But we had people from all over the United States that came up to enjoy that evening with us. And because of that event, we were showcased in Florist Review. We were in Alaska Edible. We were highlighted through the Slow Flowers Journal. It was quite a wonderful PR piece for us, and it definitely gave us a lot of recognition.
Changing gears, what are some characteristics that are valued in the peony market?
The Alaska market for peonies, we are known for the large sizes that we offer, as well as the really vibrant colors that we get. Our soils here are a little on the cool side in comparison to the lower 48. And so with that, our colors are more saturated. Lots of times there are varieties that are supposed to be white, but they are actually a blush, an antique blush here for us.
So what are your favorite varieties of peonies?
That's like singling out your favorite child. I love the rose form of a peony, and I love the fragrant ones. My new favorite, because it does change every year, because everyone performs better. So my last year's favorite was Mrs. Frank Beach. She was my last blush and just had the most wonderful fragrance. Big, huge, full, probably a good 7 to 8 inches in diameter. She was fantastic.
This question might be different depending on if I was a commercial seller or a gardener. How would I harvest a peony?
Actually, if you wanted to harvest your peonies as a gardener, though, so that you can extend your own enjoyment of them, you would just go ahead and cut them in a marshmallow stage, wrap them in newsprint, and put them in your refrigerator, dry with no water. And then after a couple weeks, you could pull them back out and cut them and hydrate them, and they'd bloom right open for you.
Does marshmallow refer to the size, the feel? Explain a little bit about that.
The marshmallow stage actually refers to the feel. When the bud is starting to open up, you'll feel, and it feels like a marble. And as the bud matures, you'll start seeing true color, and you'll see a little bit of a sepal lift and a little bit of a puff where you can touch it and it kind of squishes a little bit. That's what you're looking for. Do you know what a stale marshmallow feels like? You know, it's not as soft on the outside, but kind of hard in the middle. That's what you're looking for when you want to harvest your own peonies.
Do you do anything in the fall to prepare for winter?
What we do in the fall, before we cut our peonies back, at the point where we have already harvested all of our buds, we'll hit them with nitrogen. And what that does is it stimulates the leaf growth and it helps it take in photosynthesis, putting energy into the root. And then after the frost, we will go ahead and cut back our field and dispose of all the leaf structure.
Are you harvesting peonies at this moment?
We have just started to harvest on our red charms. Yep, it's just about ready to get crazy time.
Have you noticed any climate-related trends?
Oh, definitely. Last year, with the season coming on so fast, we had 85, 90-degree weather up here, and our normal harvest time of 4 weeks turned into like 10 days. It was terrible. There's the water, lack of water. We're really fortunate that we have a irrigation system in place, and we dump over 120,000 gallons every season on the fields. We have about 6,000 roots here at the Scenic Place Farm and another 1,000 at the other one. But the really hot summers, the lack of rain, and of course then the warm winters. You know, this year I think is one of the first years we've actually had a decent winter in a long time. You know, the 2 years prior to that, we were in the 40s, 50s in January, February with no snow coverage, which is not a good thing for the peonies. We need that snow coverage to act as a mulch to protect the roots. They do not do well with a freeze-thaw situation. So,
is it because of the water, because they don't like wet feet?
The freeze-thaw? No. If there's no snow coverage, what happens is that the peony root will start to grow, and then all of a sudden we freeze again, and all the capillaries in the root will actually get disrupted and they'll burst. And so it basically rots in the ground. Yeah, I surely believe that there's global warming and there's temperature changes happening. And I mean, last year we were harvesting before the lower 48. So we both were right in line at the same time. Wasn't so great for the market. One of the benefits of being up here on East Skyline is that we do have a good mulch covering of snow in the wintertime. So we don't have to deal with the freeze thaw that the lower bench has to work with.
What are some pests or diseases that could affect peonies?
Main disease, of course, is botrytis. But this year, we're having issues with thrips. Like I said, it's kind of the elephant in the field. You don't ever want to really talk about the bad parts of farming, but it is the reality of farming, is that every year I feel like we are always learning more, learning to overcome obstacles. This year, we're having an issue with thrip damage on our buds. So we're having to go through, recalculate our inventories. We are a naturally grown farm. We don't use chemicals. So I have got my feelers out to Dr. Bev Gerdeman down in Oregon. She's doing a thrip study, partnering with, I believe, Washington State University. Unfortunately, with COVID this year, she's unable to come up, but I'm hoping to get some biological warfare from her to kind of hit them this year. You know, at this point, the damage is done on some of the buds, so we're just going to go ahead and have to plan for next year. And as soon as we're done with the harvest, and take the information that she gives us and implement it to make sure that it's not an issue for next year. We have like a good 10-foot buffer around the field, but there's lots of grasses. It's a meadow. And so they overwinter in the grasses. Just as a cultivating or a cultural thing to cut everything back. So we're just going to bushwhack everything back even farther, hoping to keep them at bay.
Is thrips a fungal? Is it
a... Thrip is a pest.
It's a pest.
Yes. So a thrip is, and unfortunately, they're really, really small, and they will burrow into the peony head, and you won't even know it until you go to harvest them. This year, the red charms have been really hit hard with the thrips. What the thrip does is it eats the petal inside the bud, and that's what it lives off of. And what that does is it scars the petal so that we can't sell it in a commercial market.
Who do you sell to?
Our peony markets are mainly florists and internet wholesalers. We do sell to a couple of the big wholesales in the Lower 48, as well as our supermarkets, Albertsons, Safeway, and New Seasons. So we're spread out a little bit all over the place. We do have some end users that will want to purchase, but I really try to refer them over to a florist, especially if it's going to be a wedding or event. The florist know how to deal with the peony when it comes to them. Sometimes after they've been in dry shipment for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, they don't look as beautiful as people think they're going to. And so it's important that they know how to actually rehydrate them properly and get them to open up, which happens. It's amazing. They can look at them, they're like, oh, that will never bloom. Cut that little baby and put it in some water, and the whole leaf structure just fills out, and the bloom just opens right up like it was just cut off the field.
I've heard a lot of peony growers refer to the peony as the product.
Honestly, if you want the honest to goodness truth, I didn't even know what a peony was 10 years ago. You know, growing up here in Alaska, I never grew up with them. You know, it was a Midwestern flower. Nobody really had them here. And so for me, it's always kind of been a commodity. But I think as I have gotten more involved with the floral world, the designers, now I'm starting to get that, oh man, those are beautiful. Because as a commercial grower, we don't really see the product because it's in bud form. So we don't get to see that, oh my gosh, look at that beautiful peony, because it's already shipped 3,000 miles away in somebody else's hands and it's opening up. With being a part of the retreat, that has really made me actually be a little bit more appreciative. And now it's kind of like, oh yeah, I see why people like these. Those are really nice, you know, or that beautiful fragrance. It's just like you walk in and it just like hits you. It's like, oh my gosh, that is just overpoweringly wonderful.
And that was Beth Van Zandt of Scenic Place Peonies, recorded on July 20th, 2020. When it comes to peonies, Rita Jo gets the last word.
Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Rita Jo Schultz from Alaska Perfect Peony. We've been here in Homer for 54 years. 2006, we started growing. I had a greenhouse business before that, and I grew peonies, but not for cut flowers. I grew them for the plants. And then in 2006, Dr. Holloway from the university asked me to start a farm. They've been doing a lot of experiments at the farm in Georgetown Botanical Gardens at the university, and she said, they are ready for harvest and shipping when they aren't available anywhere else in the world. You got to try this. And that's when I still had my greenhouse business, so it sort of correlated with what I was doing.
What makes Alaska and Homer in general particularly ideal for growing peonies?
Well, one thing that's real interesting about the area is that we have the high elevation and the low elevation. So we can group with other people. Like I work with Betty Jocelyn, and well, I work with a lot of people, but we're real early. And when we're done, Betty's just starting way up on Diamond Ridge. That's one really good thing. We can probably supply the lower 48 or wherever for up to 10 weeks, which is really unusual. Usually it's 2 to 3 weeks for any farm. The other thing is our temperatures are really good here. We don't have the 40 below like Fairbanks, and we don't have the winds like they do in the Matanuska Valley that they have a problem with. We have an ideal climate.
So it sounds like you work together with a lot of other peony growers in the area, even though you have your own business that's completely independent.
It's really good to work with a lot of other farms, as I said, it can extend your season. If you have a buyer like a grocery store and you're only going to have peonies for a couple of weeks, they aren't going to buy from you. They're not going to set up all their entire big system, you know, and all their codes and everything for 2 weeks. So you can buddy up with somebody else if you want to, you know, and you can, maybe you can ship for 2 or 3 weeks and they can ship for 2 or 3 weeks. So it really does pay. And we never know exactly when we're going to start cutting. Nobody can tell you for sure. We go ahead and take orders. First thing you know, you've got a bride that wants 100 whites and you promised them and you don't have any flowers. So it's a good thing to have a friend down the road.
You were one of the first people that really started growing peonies commercially in Alaska. How did you learn your method of growing?
The hard way. No, actually, I went to New Zealand after I started the farm. I was a little bit cocky because I had the greenhouse business and I was already growing peonies, you know, and I thought, piece of cake, I'll just put these out in the field and it'll be just fine. Well, no, that's not how it works. And I was really stupid and I didn't know what I was doing. And like I mentioned, there wasn't anybody to help at that point. So I went to New Zealand and worked on a farm. I went a couple different seasons and worked down there. And that's how I learned my techniques. That's how I learned to grow peonies. And of course, since then, I've been into a lot of farms all over the world, but that's where I started.
Do you have a personal favorite variety?
Whatever I'm cutting at the time.
How many varieties of peonies do you grow?
Too many. Now, you know, I do a lot of blogging. If you have a chance to look at some of my blogs, that's the first thing I tell them. Don't grow so many varieties. I didn't know anything. Being the first farm, everybody wanted help, but nobody had ever done it. You know, there were no books on growing peonies in Alaska. There was nothing. So we kind of paved the way and spent a lot of money. And that's why I write blogs. Don't do this. It costs money. You don't need to do it. And I thought I needed to have all these varieties. You just need to have an early, a mid, and a late pink, and an early, a mid, and a late white. You saw how crowded my cooler was. It's complicated, very complicated in there because I have so many varieties and I don't need that very many. I would say 10 varieties would be a perfect farm.
Sarah Bernhardt is a particularly popular peony variety. What makes it so popular?
Well, first of all, Sarahs were introduced into the market in 1906, so they've been around for a really long time. They've had a long time to become popular. They're easier to grow than a lot of other peonies. They're huge. They're very forgiving in their cutting. You don't have to be exactly right on them. Some of the peonies that you cut, if you're 2 hours late, you're in trouble. But Sarahs are forgiving for that. And then they're just huge. They're up to 10 inches. And they have a fragrance. Everybody has a memory of peonies. And when they start to remember their peonies, remember Grandma had this big pink peony, and it's always going to be a Sarah Bernhardt.
Do you know your oldest plant?
Yeah, Sarah.
How old is Sarah?
Well, she's been here for 14 years.
Besides cut flowers, do you know of any interesting ways people use peonies, perhaps for culinary use or otherwise?
Well, originally in China, peonies were used for medicinal use, the roots. So that still goes on. And several people in our area, in the peninsula, are using it to make oils. And there's also a local company here that uses it to make in their soaps. So yeah, it's been used for quite a few different things.
Do you know anything about the cultural significance of peonies in Asian countries?
I got to visit several of them this past year. I've actually been to six or seven of them in Southeast Asia. Yeah, it's a sign of wealth and happiness. So there you go.
Because your refrigeration system is different than the other peony farms that we've gone to, I'm wondering if you can take us from a cut stem to when it gets shipped out.
Okay, so we have a crew that goes out and cuts, and we have special equipment that's covered so it doesn't stay in the sun, and they bring it in about every 20 to 30 minutes. So when it comes in from the field, it goes into a high-producing cool-down cooler, and it stays in there until work crew on the platform has time to get it. As they take it out, they take it out of that cooler, and we have a 20-minute rule. It can't be out of any cooler once it's delivered from the field more than 20 minutes. Because you can't ship a bud that's starting to open. It has to be a really tight bud. So once it's cooled down and the people on the platform do their processing, they grade it for length and bud size, and they take off the excess leaves. Then it goes into a hydration cooler where it's kept overnight to get a nice little drink. Then it comes out of that cooler and goes into the shipping cooler, which is our biggest cooler, where they're stored until they're shipped.
And then you are the one that actually has the last say when they go out. You're the ultimate quality control lady.
I do. I like to see what's going out, because even though everybody's really careful when they're cleaning them and putting them in rubber bands for shipping and everything, they'll miss something. They'll miss something that has a disease, or maybe it's too soft. But the funny story, I noticed one of the girls was taking a video while I was packing the box, and they were all giggling. And I thought, why are you girls laughing? And they said, because you pat every one when you put it in the box. So I do. I put it in the box, and I give it a little pat. You know, actually, I'm just trying to seat it in the box carefully, but I guess it looks like I'm saying goodbye.
You don't grow peonies from seed, because to do so, you'd have to wait 2 or 3 years. You mostly propagate through getting roots. Where do you source the roots?
I actually sell for a company out of Holland, De Vroomen. They've been in the business for 90-some-odd years, and that's where I get most of my roots. I started off getting them from a lot of different places. When I first started, they weren't that easy to get a hold of, but now I've located a lot of different places. And I do get 90% of my stuff from Holland, though. And you're right, you don't want to start it from a seed, because it isn't 3 years. It'd be 5 or 7 years. Even starting it from a root, it takes 3 years before you should start harvesting it.
So there's three different types of peonies: tree, intersectional, and herbaceous. And most of the Alaskan growers grow herbaceous. Have you heard of anyone that's growing these intersectional or tree peonies?
Actually, there's a lot more than three different kinds. But good for you. So, we do grow for the gardens. We'll grow, and in the greenhouses, we'll grow the cross, the Itoh, I-T-O-H. That's a cross between a Lactifolia and a tree peony. And I have a couple gardens, one down by Manel. I have some down in that garden that I did. And they do okay in town. Tree peonies we cannot grow, but the Itoh, which is a cross, we can. Most farms are going to be growing Lactifolia, but there's a Japanese variety, which is a single. And a few farms grow that because we have some designers that like something a little bit different than just the big blousy flower.
So speaking about the peonies that are by Bunnell, what role did you have in the Peonies on Pioneer project?
Thank you for asking. In 2013, I just started knocking on the doors of business and saying, can I put some peonies out in your front yard? And of course, everybody was worried about maintenance. I said, I'll take care of the maintenance. So I did, and I put some down in front of what is now the Chevron station. That was one of the first places I put them. Then we got some up by the hospital, and then we just started going all over town. And I was kind of a one-man show for a long time, but right now there are a lot of people that are helping.
Can you talk about the upcoming peony festival?
The Chamber's been really anxious to take advantage of all the peony farms. We have about 25 farms here down in this end of the peninsula. And so they've been very supportive. And for years, I've taken a couple buckets of peonies that we can't ship an open peony or a soft peony. So if they can't be shipped, I'll take a couple buckets in there and they give them out to the tourists. Everybody just really loves it. So they wanted to kind of capitalize on that. And since we can't do much because of COVID, they thought we could do something outdoors that might work during the COVID thing. So again, they came to me and we sat down and talked for 2 or 3 hours. And then after that, it was like Katie bar the door. There's been a tremendous amount of people involved doing a lot of hard work. Do you want to talk a little bit about going to Washington, D.C., and you want to talk about Certified American Grown?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm very proud to say that Certified American Grown has become very popular all over the United States. July has been declared to be the cut flower month for the United States. There's about 60% of the cut flower growers in the United States belong to the Certified American Grown. Certified American Grown has a third-party auditor that ensures that everybody is really growing American flowers, that they're not importing them. So this is the only way that you're going to know for sure you're getting American-grown flowers. We're very active in Washington, D.C. We've done some really cool things. We've done some things to protect our farmers. The United States has a tendency to give, you know, like $580 million to Columbia and other places like that to help them get their flower farms, not peonies, but flower farms started, hoping to fight communism and drug, which is instead what's happening now is the drugs are coming in the flower boxes. So we go to Washington, D.C. and fight for some of our rights. And I feel very honored to be the chair of the committee right now, which represents 60% of the cut flower growers in the United States.
Can you talk about your role in the Alaska Farm Bureau?
Oh, I'm really crazy about the Alaska Farm Bureau because it's camaraderieship. You know, we can talk about the same problems. Even though somebody might be growing livestock in Delta Junction, they have some of the same problems that we do down here. The idea of sitting down and talking about the same things. Even though we don't do the same things, we all have some very similar conditions. We all have to worry about soil. We all have to worry about feed. I'm the treasury of the state, and I've been working with them for probably 15 years. And I'm also the president of the current chapter here in Homer. We just split, so we now have the Upper Kenai Peninsula Farm Bureau, and then we have the South Kenai Peninsula Farm Bureau. And we just did that this year. We're just getting a good start, so we're hoping to expand the interest, get more livestock people involved, pig growers, those kind of things.
Diversify.
Thank you. Diversify. Yes, we need to diversify. The peony industry is well known in the Farm Bureau Washington, D.C. scene.
In talking to the other peony growers, they tend to see peonies more, they call it the product. They see it more in like a math term instead of like a poetic term. I'm wondering if you can talk about maybe the beauty of peonies or something that keeps you interested.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I'm old and I totally appreciate in this time of my life to have something as beautiful every day, to be surrounded by beauty of nature. So for me, yes, it is a product. Yes, I'm going to make some money. But the idea of being outdoors every day and playing with flowers every day, I mean, it doesn't get much better than this.
When President Obama came to visit Alaska in 2015, your peonies, Alaska Perfect Peonies, were chosen for his presidential bouquet. Can you talk about this experience?
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. Senator Murkowski contacted me and said, would you be willing to provide a bouquet for President Obama? And you'll have to go through the Secret Service, and there'll be a lot of hoops to go through. So I said, of course. So I put together like five bouquets and headed to Anchorage in my car with having them packed in ice, and got to my daughter's house in Anchorage and made up several of them. And then I took them to a spot. Actually, I met somebody in a parking lot, and they took them, and then they took them to the Secret Service people, and then they were actually in his room. And he gave some really nice comments about them, so that was cool.
So President Obama was here to address climate change. Have you noticed any trends affecting your peonies in relation to maybe the harvest date or?
Yes, definitely. Very, very definitely. When we first started, we didn't start cutting till the second or third week of July. And last year we started cutting the 25th of June. And so we had 14 years. We probably had 4 or 5 years where we were just what I would call a regular season. You know, we'd start cutting around the middle of July. And then it started getting warmer. Then it was, you know, 9 days earlier and then 3 days earlier. And now last year it was 3 weeks earlier than normal.
Did you have any last statements or anything that you wanted to say?
Peonies are bringing a lot more than just flowers that we ship out. There's a lot of other things that are connected to this. You know, everybody went out and bought tractors. You know, there's the shipping people. There's the boxes we buy. There's the fertilizer we buy from Alaska Mill and Feed. Besides all the products that we use and need and buy from other sources for the economic impact, we also hire a lot of people. Here at our farm, we hire a lot of young kids. We love hiring these young kids. Some of these young kids are now been with us 14 years. Some of them even have full-time jobs in other places, and they come here at 5:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the evening, come here on their days off. That, to me, answers your other question. What is so great about it? There's a lot of economic inclusions besides just growing the flowers and sending them outside.
I wonder if there's any studies done on the economic impact of the peony industry in Alaska.
Yeah, it would be interesting, and I think that's something that should happen. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Anything that I might have missed?
Let me talk a little bit about hiring these kids, a little bit more about that, okay? So most of these kids that we hire come on their bicycles or walk because they're in the neighborhood. And the parents love the fact that they've got a job, number one, and that they feel like it's close to home and it's secure. But it's really funny when almost all the kids, when they first come, their parents come with them. And they kind of hang out, you know, for 3 or 4 days. They drop in at random times, and I think that is so cool. They're making sure that the environment here is safe, that they want their kids to be here. And these kids, this is their first jobs, and sometimes they get a little mad at me, but I tell them some of the rules for a first job, you know, like, if your job starts at 8 o'clock, it doesn't mean you're in the driveway at 8 o'clock. That means that you're in your position to start to work at 8 o'clock. So I think that's another thing for the community, is that having opportunities for these young people to have jobs.
As a resident of Fritz Creek, I can say that there aren't many places to be employed in the Fritz Creek area.
Right, yeah. And the other thing that we do is we hire Asperger kids, and we hire, the term now is diversified. It's not special needs, it's diversified folks. Some of the young people have never been around somebody other than their own teenagers and their parents. They've never been around somebody that might have a challenge. I think that opens their eyes and makes it more common to them. If somebody's in your life for a long time every day, you know, you get used to it. You don't even think about it as being different.
Thank you.
And that was Rita Jo Schultz, recorded at her farm in Fritz Creek, Alaska, on July 7th, 2020. That about does it for this show. I want to thank our guests, Allison Gaylord of Willow Drive Gardens and founding member of Alaska Beauty Peony Co-op, Beth Van Sant of Scenic Place Peonies, and Rita Jo Schultz of Alaska Perfect Peonies. Big shout out and thank you to Homer Soil and Water Conservation District for everything that they do for every episode of this show. Our theme music is provided by local musicians Carly Konimak and Kevin Cope. Kevin Cope is actually a worker in the agricultural industry here in Homer, proving that the coronavirus cannot stop creativity. Him and Ryan Black created the song that you're hearing in the background. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future shows, you can email Desiree@kbbi.org. You can hear this show again in 2 weeks. The subject will be water usage. I've been your host, Desiree Hagen, reminding you to support your local farmer.